This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
They said she lied about everything. That's the line that echoed through the hearing room, a man in uniform under oath, still clinging to the last weapon of power he had, disbelief. She lied about everything there was to lie about, said former Stoughton Deputy Police Chief Robert Devine, a man accused of misconduct himself, sitting in front of the Massachusetts Post Commission, defending his name by burying hers. Anyone noticing a trend over here? It's such a familiar refrain, isn't it? I mean, when the system fails a woman, it doesn't apologize. It just rewrites the story. The narrative shifts from the she was victimized to she was deceitful. From she was vulnerable to she was manipulative. And from we failed her to she did it to herself. Keep in mind, she was groomed from her early teen years in your police explorer program. Add that to the mix. Dipshit. Sandra Birchmore's name should have meant something different. She wanted to serve. She joined a police youth program as a kid, the Stoughton Police Explorers, a mentorship program designed to inspire young people who dreamed of wearing a badge. And in theory, it's a good thing. Help young people explore their interests and their passions. And get some good people into your department. Because clearly you all failed at that. No, you're going to use her like a piece of meat. She walked in trusting that the men teaching her were protectors. Instead, they were predators cloaked in authority. She was around 12 or 13 when she joined. I mean, imagine that. Old enough to idolize people in uniform, too young to recognize when administration is being weaponized. The adults in charge of that program blurred every boundary that was supposed to keep her safe. By 15, prosecutors say one of them, Detective Matthew Farwell, had turned mentorship into grooming and grooming into a secret sexual relationship. And the man overseeing that very program, Robert Devine, now tells the world she lied about everything. Oh, did she? Because it seems that whole concept, lying part, that seems to lie a lot more over with you guys. I don't know. Call me crazy. Of course he's going to say that. Because what else can a man say when the record shows he used the fake name Marty Riggs, like the cop from Lethal Weapon, to communicate with her? He denies it. And again, he hasn't been charged. So these are allegations. And this is my opinion. What else can he do when his own profession is staring down a pattern of abuse that has repeated itself in every state with a police explorer's badge? He can't scrub away a decade of misconduct. So you do what abusers always do. They call the victim a liar. Let's talk about that phrase. She lied about everything. It's not just denial. It's a strategy. It's how the powerful cleanse their conscience. Because if she lied, if you can control that narrative, you get other people to believe that she's lying, then they weren't predators. They were fooled. Oh, they weren't groomers. They were victims of her manipulation, the child. Yes, they're victims of the child's minute. Now, yeah, it's a psychological reversal that absolves guilt and shifts shame back onto the person who never had any power in the first place. And it works because grooming survivors rarely make perfect witnesses. Their timelines are messy. Their stories wobble. Their emotions swing between love, fear, and self-blame. That confusion isn't evidence of deceit. It's scar tissue of trauma. But when the abuser is a police officer, someone trained to control narratives, documented facts, and they can testify convincingly, that imbalance becomes lethal. Sandra Birchmore didn't stand a chance against that kind of machine. She spent her teenage years surrounded by officers who blurred professional lines, who texted her after hours, who encouraged her to feel special. They didn't have to force her. They conditioned her. They taught her that attention was love, that secrecy was loyalty, that compliance was affection. And when she finally started talking about what had happened, they called her unstable. They said she was obsessed. They said she lied. And then when her body was found in February of 21, pregnant, alone, and dead in her Canton apartment, they said it was suicide. The story almost ended there. No charges, no outrage, no headlines, just another dead woman labeled troubled. But her family refused to let it die quietly. They pushed. Investigators took another look. The feds did, because the local ones were all too busy covering their asses. And slowly, a different story began to surface. Go figure. The last person to see her alive, Detective Matthew Farwell, the man she said she'd been involved with since she was a teenager. Detective Matthew Farwell, the man she believed was the father of her unborn child. Detective Matthew Farwell. And by August of 2024, federal prosecutors charged him with murder, alleging he strangled her, staged the scene to look like suicide, and did it to silence her from exposing his crimes. And suddenly she lied about everything. Doesn't sound like a confident defense anymore. It sounds like a cover story. The medical examiner says she died by strangulation. The feds say Farwell killed her to protect himself and his department, but the damage to her reputation had already been done. Devine and others had planted that seed early. She was a liar. She made it all up. Once that label sticks, it doesn't matter what the evidence says. The court of public opinion will always give the man in uniform the benefit of the doubt. This is the cycle. We have seen it in department after department, explorer program after explorer program. In Kentucky, a sergeant ran a similar youth police mentoring group where teens later came forward with allegations of sexual assault, only to be dismissed as attention seekers. In Texas, officers were caught exchanging sexual messages with explorers as young as 14, calling them fantasizers. In Florida, a police captain's misconduct case unraveled when prosecutors said they couldn't rely on the teen's inconsistent statements. It's the same pathology everywhere. When victims are groomed by authority figures, the system built to protect them transforms into a fortress for the abusers, and they know it. That's why they use it the way they do. Sandra Birchmore's case didn't happen in a vacuum. It's part of a lineage, a chain of institutional betrayal that hides behind the badge. Grooming inside law enforcement isn't new. It's just rarely prosecuted. Because for every Farwell, there's a Devine. For every indictment, there's a hearing room where someone swears under oath that she lied about everything. But think about what grooming actually does to the mind. It teaches the victim that truth is dangerous. It teaches them that speaking up will cost them love, belonging, safety, everything. And by the time a victim tells the truth, she's already been trained to sound unreliable. She hesitates. She backtracks. She second guesses. And the abuser sits there, arms folded, waiting to pounce. See? She's inconsistent. Of course she is. She was conditioned to be by you. Sandra spent her adolescence being told she was part of the team, that the officers cared about her, that she was special. When she was still in high school, they were already talking to her like an adult. They normalized the abnormal. And when she tried to move on, when she started forming other relationships, they pulled her back with emotional guilt, the hallmark of every predator who mistakes control for love. By the time she was 23, she was trapped in a loop that felt impossible to break, pregnant, scared, and trying to make sense of a life that had been shaped by lies told to her, not by her. And then suddenly she was dead. And the men who defined her adolescence got to define her legacy, too. At least they attempted to. The DNA tests that later proved Farwell wasn't the father didn't exonerate him. It only complicated the tragedy. It proved how thoroughly her reality had been twisted, how she'd been made to believe something that wasn't true, because that's what grooming does. It makes you question what's real and what's been constructed by someone who holds all of the power. And power is the one thing the Stoughton Police Department had in abundance. Even after her death, the instinct wasn't to examine the system, it was to protect it. Internal investigators moved cautiously. The first narrative that reached the public was that she'd taken her own life. Only when the feds stepped in did that story start to unravel. By then, Devine was in front of the Post Commission, insisting none of it was true, and that Sandra Birchmore was just a compulsive liar who had fooled them all. He said it like he was reading from a script written decades ago, because he was! From scandals to explorer programs in the Midwest, the same language has echoed in every case where police power intersects with predation. She was unstable. She made advances. She wanted it. She lied. It's the hymnal of impunity. But here's the truth. Devine didn't say out loud. The state's oversight body didn't buy it. They said they had evidence to the contrary. Communications, patterns, and behavior that told a very different story. And when the federal indictment dropped on Farwell, the facade collapsed completely. It's not that Sandra Birchmore lied. It's that the truth was too dangerous for them to admit. And let's not pretend this was a one-off. The same structural rot that protected those officers exists in precincts across the country. And we tell ourselves these are isolated incidents. But how many isolated incidents does it take before you call it a pattern, before you admit that some parts of policing have confused mentorship with ownership and protection with possession? If you look at the national record, the Explorer cases from Utah, the ones in Illinois, the dozens chronicled by the Marshall Project, the victims tell eerily similar stories. They were kids who admired the badge, kids who wanted to belong, kids who thought they'd found purpose and instead found predators wearing those badges. And when it all came crashing down, the response was identical. The department closed ranks, the officers minimized, and the victims were called liars. Sandra's tragedy is just the Massachusetts chapter of the same damn book. Think about what it takes for a grown man, a trained officer, to look into the camera and call a dead woman a liar. To do it publicly, to use her memory as his shield. That's not just moral bankruptcy, that's institutional conditioning. Because in their world, to admit wrongdoing is weakness, and weakness gets you exiled. It's easier to stay in the club by throwing the victim under the bus. What happens to a community when that becomes normal? When police departments spend more energy defending the accused than protecting the vulnerable? You get what we have now, a public that doesn't know who to trust, a generation of young people who see the badge and feel fear instead of safety, and families like Sandra's, grieving, angry, still waiting for justice that should have come years ago. Let's rewind to that post-hearing again, the moment Devine said she lied about everything. Imagine how many times Sandra must have heard that in her life. Maybe from the same men who groomed her, maybe from the voices in her own head after years of manipulation. It's the phrase every survivor fears most because it erases them completely. It tells them that their story never existed. But here's the irony. The people who accused her of lying are the same ones caught in a web of their own deceit. They lied about mentorship. They lied to investigators about boundaries. They lied to themselves about being good cops. They lied to the public about how a pregnant young woman ended up dead in an apartment that looked too neat, too staged, and too convenient. Sandra Birchmore's truth didn't fit their report, so they redacted it. And that's why stories like hers matter. That's why we tell them. Because for every Sandra whose name makes the news, there are dozens of others whose cases are quietly filed away under unsubstantiated, no credible witness or officer cleared. The victims who don't die are often the ones who carry the quietest scars. The ones who learn that justice has a price tag. And if you accuse the wrong man with the right badge, it costs a lot. Credibility. The psychological damage doesn't just vanish, it ripples outwards into families, communities, the next generation of kids who walk into Explorer programs believing they're safe. And until departments start treating those programs as sacred trusts instead of private playgrounds for the powerful, the cycle will keep repeating. Sandra's death forced Massachusetts to look in the mirror. But the reflection isn't unique to one state. It's an American reflection of institutions that were built on authority without accountability, of systems that demand public trust while betraying it behind closed doors. Every time an officer like Devine says, "She lied about everything," he's not defending truth, he's defending hierarchy. Because the moment you admit a cop can be a predator, the illusion of absolute authority cracks. And for some men, that illusion is more important than any woman's life. So they'll keep saying it. They'll keep repeating the mantra. They'll keep hoping that repetition will sound like reality. But it won't. Not anymore. Not when the evidence contradicts their every word. Not when the public has learned to read between the lines of press releases. Not when women like Sandra and the families who refuse to let them be erased keep forcing the truth into the light. She wasn't perfect, none of us are, but she deserved better than this. Better than a system that let her be groomed as a child, silenced as an adult, and discredited after death. She deserved a department that valued her humanity more than its reputation. What happened to Sandra Birchmore isn't just the story of one woman's betrayal. It's a blueprint of how power protects itself. And until the people in uniform start holding each other accountable, until departments stop hiding behind phrases like isolated incident and start naming it what it is, we'll keep seeing more Sandras, more hearings, and more men swearing under oath that the woman lied about everything. But we know better. We've seen too much. And no amount of denial, no badge, no courtroom testimony can change the fact that Sandra's truth outlived her. And that's what terrifies them most. Because when the lie finally collapses, all that's left is the truth they tried to bury. And that truth has a name. And in this case, it's Sandra Birchmore. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, check it out. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to, please, so you don't miss any of our coverage and commentary on this and the many cases we follow for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. My name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.